his disciples, what happened to them? They healed the sick, cast out demons, planted churches. They did all of these things. They were persecuted, stoned, put into prison, shipwrecked, crucified upside down. All of them died, just a horrible death. And just realizing the message that I carry is the same message that they carried.
Welcome to this episode of On the Move, a podcast about missions, international ministry, and how God is changing lives around the world. I'm your host, Leanne White, and today I'm joined by Gina Seaman. Gina recently completed a long-term missions training course with YWAM, Youth with a Mission. Welcome, Gina.
Hi, thank you.
So, Gina, I'd like to start today by you telling us a little bit about your faith background, how you came to faith in Jesus, and yeah, let's just start there.
Yeah, so I was raised going to Catholic church. It was just a part of culturally, that's what you did. And in America, a lot of people culturally go to church, but that doesn't really mean anything. Then my dad had lost his job and we ended up moving. And so we were invited to a non-denominational church. And that's kind of when my mom gave her life to Jesus and started bringing God into our like home as like, and that was the first time I heard that you could have a relationship with Jesus. And she was just saved, so she didn't really know what was going on. And so we would go to church, and I just was like, wow, you can have a relationship with God. But I did not know how to do that. I didn't have any like leaders or anyone in my life like showing me how to do that. So that was when I was in fourth grade. And so fast forward to high school, I finally joined like a small group in the church, and it was a painting small group, and I love to paint, so I decided to join, and the two girls were, I've never met Christians like them. They talked about hearing God's voice, they talked about praying for people, and they got healed. They just carried this like presence and authority that I've never seen before. And it was so attractive to me. And I just longed to know God in like the way that they did. And so I became friends with them. And that's kind of when I really began my relationship with God because of these two women.
That's so awesome. So what an encouragement for them, I'm sure,
yeah.
To know that they played that role in your life. So what happened next? So that was during high school. So mm-hmm. you finished high school and you kind of took a non-traditional step after that. Rather than going to like a four-year college degree, you did something for 4 years.
Right.
Something a little different than college.
Right. So like I said, the two girls, they were my age. They were like a couple years older than me. And so one of the girls had done a discipleship training school with Youth with a Mission. And I was like, after she graduated, and I was thinking, you can do that? Like, you can just not go to college? Like, that's crazy. I've never heard of that. Like, your teachers and your parents, they really strongly encourage university. And so I was shocked. I was like, I would love to do that. And then I remember sharing with my parents and they were like, no, you're like, that's not even a question. But I was a junior, so it wasn't really, I'm still not thinking about that kind of stuff. And so she came back and we went to the Send Orlando. It's basically this conference that all of these Christians had come to, and it was in this large stadium, and they like, we all worshiped God 20 like for the whole day, like 6 a.m. to midnight. and people were talking about missions and adoption, and they were worshiping God. And so at this conference, this guy comes up to me and is like, I have a word from God for you. Mm-hmm. And I was like, what? Like, just started crying because I just so longed to like know God in this like way. And I wanted everything to do with God. So I'm like, whoa, God sees me. And like, what is he saying? And this guy was praying over me and he said, you see all these people like doing missions and hearing God's voice and seeing the Bible in their own life. And this is for you too. He basically was like, it's not just for them, it's for you too. And in that moment, I was like, oh my gosh, like God's really pursuing me and I need to respond. And I had actually, this is like my senior year now, I had applied to do university and I had the deposit down and I was going there. And this is when God like asked me this question, or kind of prompted me. I was like, God, well, what should I do? Like, I really want to do this. And he said to me, if you go to university, I will bless you. But if you go and do this discipleship training school, because I wanted to do the same thing that she did and get trained for missions. And just I just knew that you would get to know God in this, because I'd never heard of it before, but I just knew she was changed when she came back. And he said, I have more for you if you do this discipleship training school. And I just had the fear of the Lord. I just didn't want to miss out on what God had for me. And so when I graduated high school, I did my discipleship training school with YWAM, the Youth with the Mission. And never, I was changed for the rest of my life. Like, I couldn't go back to normal life. So that's why, that was my process. And my parents ended up blessing me. And I remember that they said, whoa, this is like, we want to support, we don't want to get in the way of what God has for you. And even though they didn't understand, I know my dad didn't, they still blessed me and supported me in it. And that's when I knew it was God, because my parents are very traditional. So I was like, wow, God is real and he wants me to do this.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's awesome. So I know your mom a little bit, and I just, for knowing her and hearing this part of your story, I know that, and I can relate as a mom, that it's hard when your children sense the Lord leading them to do something that's a little maybe untraditional, that is a little different from everybody else. And yet at the same time, I do know that as a parent, I want what God wants for my children. And I know that that's what your mom wants. And I just appreciate that you can see that about them, that, you know, especially that they became supportive of you in making that decision. So you did the discipleship training course, and from that, it launched you. You didn't just come home from that and kind of return to life as normal. The Lord used that time to really, I think, draw you deeper, right, into the world of missions. So what happened next after that initial discipleship training course was over?
So to explain what it looks like, it's 3 months of training. So they teach you how to preach the gospel, and they teach you how to pray, and they teach you how to like just communicate your testimony cross-culturally. And so they really equip you to go and for 3 months, and then 3 months you're on an outreach to anywhere in the world. I went to Papua New Guinea. It's like by Australia. Most people don't know where it is, but I didn't either. And so so after that, I just saw God, and I knew I couldn't live any other way. And so I wanted to go into long-term missions, but because I didn't have foundations with God, like I had never read the Bible all the way through, this is my first mission experience. I knew I needed further training. And so the next year I did a 9-month course. So it included a Bible course where I read all the Bible all the way through. It was an overview, a communications course, a worldview course through YWAM, because the campus that I was at is also, you can get university credits with certain other universities. And then afterwards, I hopped on staff and was leading that discipleship training school. So I would have a group of students that I would be training and then leading their outreach, kind of what I did the first year. And this was all onto me eventually moving long term, but I needed training and experience. Even though I know God calls the unqualified, and that's, he loves to use weak people. And I, this whole time of me in short-term missions, I'm a testimony of that, because I didn't know what I was doing the whole time, but God trusts, like he responds to faith. And I was terrified the whole time, but he really, you know, took me along. And so that was the last couple years of me afterwards.
Awesome. It is so true, right? That God doesn't expect us to be fully equipped when he calls us, but he equips us in our calling as we're faithful. Yeah. As we're willing to follow him, he's always faithful to provide what we need in those experiences. So that was about a 4-year process for you, right? Of the discipleship training school and then various different short-term experiences. So what's next for you? You're going to shift again and do, so you've just completed this training course for a long-term missions term. So what does that look like for you? What's next?
That's correct. So yeah, it's kind of a crazy story, but I was in prayer and asking God, what do you have for my future? And I had my eyes closed and I saw me giving a lei, like the flower leis in Hawaii, to this government lady who looked Islander, Asian. And in the background was this red and white flag. And I was like, what is this, God? And then I saw the words Indonesia. And then I saw wedding bells like ringing. Hmm. And in that moment, I knew that God wanted me to move to Indonesia. I just knew what it meant. And I looked up online what the Indonesian flag was, because I had no idea. And it was a red and white flag. Hmm. And so this was very specific from God that he was like prompting me to do this. And on the campus, the training campus through in YWAM where I was, there was a long-term team there already. And so I joined their team, and basically, the reason why I was doing this long-term training course is because I'm going to be moving to Indonesia on the island called Bali, and we're going to start working there and doing long-term missions.
That's awesome. So what are the kinds of things you're going to be doing? Do you know yet, or is it still somewhat undetermined?
Right. So what we'll be doing is, our team is bringing YWAM there. And so what that looks like is, our heart is to equip young people, young Indonesians, and like first have them encounter the love of God and know him, and to send them out into the nations, because in Indonesia, it's mainly Muslim. There's like a 3% Christians that live there. And in Bali, they're mainly Hindu. So the need is very, like, workers and missionaries there. And so we'll be doing church planting and tons of prayer and worship, intercession, lifting up worship to God. And eventually he's given us so much like vision for what we're doing that it's too big for me to comprehend, but eventually God's promised that he's going to give us a boat. So we'll be able to do medical missions and reach the unreached islands, because Indonesia is made up of many different islands. Yeah. And so our heart is to bring medical care along with the Bible and Jesus to them, because they're so unreached and mm-hmm. so isolated. So we want to reach the isolated people. And but our first year, what will it look like is language learning. Yeah. And because it starts, you have to learn the language, you have to learn the culture to have any authority in this place. So we'll be doing language learning 20 hours a week and just building connections. A lot of the first couple years will look like building relationships, making friends, understanding the language, the culture, and yeah. And then we'll build up until, like, just hold on to the words that God's spoken that he's wanting to do in this land, in this country. But that's what it will look like for now.
Yeah, that's great. So when you're in Florida for mm-hmm. the summer months and you're leaving?
Right. I'm leaving in July. And so the main reason why I'm in Florida right now is to build a financial partnership team, a prayer partnership team, and also just prepare, just doing a lot of different like appointments, just preparing to move just fully off this out of the States and to make Indonesia my home. So there's a lot of prep I have to do.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll bet. So your initial term, is it 3 years, 4 years? Is it undetermined?
I've committed 5 years.
Okay.
But I'm just going until he speaks otherwise.
Yeah, that's an admirable thing to say. So as hard as that is, so the mother heart of me is going, oh my goodness. No wonder your mom gets happy, proud tears in her eyes when we talk about this, because it's exciting to see you pursuing what you know God has called you to do. On the Move is a podcast created by 21C International. We're on a mission to encourage, equip, and empower Christian pastors and church leaders in the majority world by providing free in-person training and print resources. If you want to learn how you can help thousands of pastors receive biblical and pastoral training, stay to the end of the episode to hear our latest ministry updates, or visit our website at 21cinternational.org. Is there something that you sense God has been teaching you above everything else? Is there, if you had to boil down the last few years of your life and tell someone that about something that you know God has been teaching you during this time, is there something that comes to mind for you?
I think each year has been very specific with what God has been teaching me and growing me in. But recently, I think he's been just showing me what it means to actually follow Jesus, and what it actually means to live the Bible. And he's been showing me how his disciples, what happened to them after he came to earth and went back to heaven and commissioned them and said, go into all the nations and preach the gospel and disciple everyone. looking at their lives, they healed the sick, cast out demons, planted churches. They did all of these things. They were persecuted and stoned, put into prison, shipwrecked, crucified upside down. All of them died, just a horrible death. And this past year, just realizing the message that I carry is the same message that they carried. Mm-hmm. And he's been showing me what it actually means to suffer for the gospel and what he actually is doing and what Christians should be doing and what it looks like to follow him. And it means to completely die to yourself and follow him. And just seeing how if you are dead to your flesh and yourself, you could never be disappointed. You can never be upset or hurt because you're dead. There, you have no expectations. It's you have come to serve. And we have come to partake in suffering as Jesus did. And just showing me what it looks like to truly look like him and just lay down your life fully. Lay down what people think about you and being misunderstood and not defending yourself and just living for him. And I think that's the main thing. To embrace suffering and embrace uncomfortability, because that's how we grow. I think that's the main thing, to embrace just being uncomfortable and embrace that tension, because that's when you know, like, you need God when you're stepping out. And when you're uncomfortable, you're like, God, I need you right now. This is hard. Yeah. Just to always put yourself in uncomfortable situations. And I think that's the main thing he's been showing me the past year. But like I said, every year is specific, but this is what he's been showing me this year.
Yeah, no, that's so, the idea of suffering, it's something we have recently talked about on the podcast. And it's something that I think, you know, for a lot of Christians in the U.S., it's hard for us to even think about having to suffer for the cause of Christ, because we have it in a pretty comfortable, I mean, you know, we've got a pretty comfortable life in terms of the blessings we live with. And even in a country that's increasingly hostile towards Christians, it's not hostility to the point some other nations and believers around the world see in terms of persecution and what they suffer for the cause of Christ, to know Jesus and to make him known, right? That's really the calling for every Christian is to know Jesus and to make him known. And for some that definitely involves a greater level of suffering than for others. Mm-hmm. I really loved what you said about that realization that God sees, that God saw you, that the awareness that you had that God saw you and he was pursuing you. And I just, even thinking about what you were saying, that God has been teaching you this year in terms of being willing to die to self and make him first and what it really means to follow Jesus. I know that for a lot of our listeners, they are like me in that they look around the country and they see that this is a country where especially young people are not as excited about Christianity as maybe young people were when we were growing up. And yet here you are, a young person who has this certainty that God wants a personal relationship with you, and you want a personal relationship back with him. You want to follow him. So I'd love to just maybe follow that as a thread for a little bit about what you see as you look around in terms of your own generation, what you think about how your generation, you know, feels about the Lord, and then maybe what you think would be an encouragement for people that are maybe parents and grandparents of people in their mid-20s, you know, on down, how people could encourage that younger generation that you belong to. Mm-hmm. So what do you, first of all, let's start with what you see as you look around at people your age. And as you've been with Youth with a Mission and seen people your own age, right, through your time with them, like what's your sense?
If we're talking about in America, I think it is like when I think about my friends who are Christian in America, I'm like, wow, I think it's extremely hard to be follow Christ in America because it's culturally Christian. And I've been to countries where it's not culturally Christian. It's maybe culturally Buddhist. And they're actually not Buddhist, but they culturally do that. Like we in America culturally go to a Christmas service and an Easter service. So whenever I see my friends living in America who are Christian, I'm like, wow, I really go out. Like my heart goes out to you guys because it is just really difficult to stand in America as a Christian with these values and beliefs. My experience with Generation Z in America is the last like 2 years I've been training my generation, and the things that I've seen them do for Jesus has blown my mind. Of burning their laptops because they used to watch porn on it and they don't want to have any like compromise in their life. From staying up all night, just praying for God to know Him. And I would say, just to encourage your generation, is that it's in them. They want to give themselves fully to something, but they just don't know it's Jesus. And everyone has this void in their heart that needs to be filled by something. And they just love raw and genuineness. And so I think when America can, and just the church in America can get to a place of rawness and vulnerability with how they are as a person and what their relationship looks like with Jesus without all of this like facade, that they would actually connect with the church and Christianity to really see the rawness of their hearts and people's relationship with God. But I have seen Generation Z just totally on fire for God. And in these different countries too, not just America, of how hungry they are to know Jesus. When I was in Mongolia, they have rejected their cultural religion of Buddhism to be atheists because they don't want anything to do with these ritual, like these strong just rules and rituals, that they are now atheists. But in my experience in reaching Mongolians that are my age and they're hearing Jesus for the first time, they are so hungry. They are asking me how to have a relationship with Him because they're just rejecting this harsh religious and they want that relationship that Jesus offers. And so to speak into the rest of the world, maybe they're so hungry for God. It's just that relationship with Him instead of these harsh religious things that maybe they see but don't understand that's what it is. But I've seen a generation committed to holiness and righteousness.
That's really super encouraging, I think, to hear your perspective on it, to hear how you see Gen Z, your generation, you know, having a heart and a hunger for a relationship with God. And I think maybe that's the challenge that we're going to see for a while, is that little bit of a conflict between maybe the cultural Christianity and what true Christianity is. Right. That it's, you know, it's just a little too easy to continue to pursue the cultural Christianity.
Yeah, I agree.
Versus just truly pursuing Christ, which was, to go back to something else you said earlier, is what the disciples did, right? They had a personal relationship with Jesus, which fueled their passion to follow him and their passion to serve him and to share that with others, which has changed the world, which is pretty awesome when you think about it, right? That it started with just 12 men. So Gina, I really appreciate you sharing your story with us today. And I just am curious, what's like, how can we be praying for you? What's the biggest next thing for you as you're finishing up your time and preparing to go to Indonesia in July?
Yes. So like I mentioned before, I am working on cultivating a partnership team financially and prayer and a prayer team, which honestly, the prayer team is more important to me than a financial team. I really believe in the power of prayer and people committed to praying for our team and for me. I would say that's my greatest need and what I'm working towards. Yeah, that people would really get encountered by God while I share with them what I'm doing, specifically my family and extended family. Because maybe they don't really go to church or maybe don't know God. So I think that's my main prayer, and that I would just transition well into the culture in Indonesia and learn the language super quickly and just really make that my home. Because I have only done short-term missions, as I said, so transitioning to long-term missions, it's really a different mindset. It's a lot slower pace. And short-term missions, it's very, like, fast. So I think that's what my prayer would be.
Yeah, that's great. Well, put me on your prayer team, please. I would love to be a part of that. I would count it a privilege to pray for you as you pursue what God is calling you to do. So thank you again for your time today and for just sharing your heart for being a part of what God is doing around the world, but through you, the part that how your story intersects with what God is doing around the world. So thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. I feel so honored to be on here and just share about God and what he's doing in the nations. I just really thank you for having me.
Yeah. Thanks, Gina. As we heard on our episode with Gina today, prayer is a vital part of ministry. And that is something that we certainly know to be true here at 21C, that prayer is really the foundation of our ministry. It's not a side thing. It's not a optional thing. It all begins with prayer. And so we would invite you to join us in praying for our ministry. Join us in praying for the pastors that we serve through our resources and our training. You can join our prayer team by clicking the link that's in our show notes. You can also go to our website, 21cinternational.org, and join our prayer team through the website. But the link in the show notes will take you to a really simple form that you can fill out to join our prayer team, to join us in praying for the work that God is doing through 21C International as we encourage, equip, and empower pastors and church leaders around the world.